श्रीमद् भागवतम की शील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सुफिया रीडिंग कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 40 The Prayers of Akrura, Text Number 6. Eke Tvakhila Karmani Sanyasyo Pasamam Gutaha Nani Nognana Yagnena Yajanti Gnana Vigraham एके त्वाखिल कर्माणि सन्यास्योपशमं गतः ज्ञानिनो ज्ञानयज्ञेन यजन्ति ज्ञानविग्रहम्। एके त्वाखिल कर्माणि सन्यास्योपशमं गतः ज्ञानिनो ज्ञानयज्ञेन यजन्ति ज्ञानविग्रहम्। एके त्वाखिल कर्माणि सन्यासोपशमं गतः ज्ञानिनो ज्ञानयज्ञेन ज्ञानिनो ज्ञानयज्ञेन यजन्ति ज्ञानविग्रहम्।
एके किल कर्माणि सन्यासोपशमं गतः ज्ञानिनो ज्ञानयज्ञेन जयन्ति ज्ञानविग्रहम्। सन्यासोपशमं गतः ज्ञानिनो ज्ञानयज्ञेन यजन्ति ज्ञानविग्रहम्। वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग, एके सम त्वा टू यू अखिल ऑल कर्माणि एक्टिविटीज सन्यास्य रिजाइनिंग उपाशमम पीस कताः अटेनिंग नानिनः पर्स्यूअर्स ऑफ नॉलेज ज्ञान योगेन सॉरी ज्ञान यज्ञेन बाय द सैक्रिफाइस ऑफ कल्टिवेटिंग नॉलेज यजन्ति दे वर्शिप ज्ञान विग्रहम द एम्बॉडीमेंट ऑफ नॉलेज। Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In pursuit of spiritual knowledge, some persons renounce all material activities and having thus become peaceful, perform the sacrifice of philosophic investigation to worship you, the original form of all knowledge. Please repeat. In pursuit of spiritual knowledge, some persons renounce all material activities and having thus become peaceful, perform the sacrifice of philosophic investigation to worship you, the original form of all knowledge. Purport: modern philosophers pursue knowledge without bothering to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they naturally end up with meager, if not trivial, results. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyay Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, it's a very nice chapter, Prayers of Akrura. So, the prayers, they have a lot of importance in our devotional services, devotional life. So, as we understand from the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is one of the best prayers wherein we pray to Radha Krishna that please engage us in devotional service, please, so that we have developed the love for the lordships. So that is the mood of chanting. So it is perfect in itself and not much of endeavor is required, but because we are investing time in chanting these mantras every day, little more thoughtfulness will help us to advance better in our spiritual life, because if you do it with a prayerful mood, this is what is teaching from these prayers of Akrura. The whole episode of his visiting to Vrindavan is so much of prayerful mood, so much of conscious of what he is doing, where he is going, what he is going to get, how he will have darshan of the Lord. So he was so much conscious and he was also in a very humble mood and grateful for that situation. So this has to be continuous for we devotees. that when we are chanting, when we are doing any service or leading kirtans, cleaning temple, serving prasadam. So the most important part is this prayerful mood of expressing gratefulness and feeling gratitude that we got this opportunity by the mercy of devotees and Lord. Otherwise, it becomes distasteful. We don't develop that taste if we don't develop this mood of being grateful and genuinely praying for the mercy and blessings from whatever activity we are doing. So it's very, very important. Even the smallest service of like cleaning the shop, here I got this service here in Vrindavan. So I feel grateful that Mother Devi Shakti allowed me to do that service, and continuously they inspire, even if I am not sincere some days, but still they don't say, oh, you didn't came. So it's a good reciprocation with devotees which allows you to advance in your spiritual life. So this is very important to develop this mood of prayers. So prayers are having two focal points. Generally for us, it should be one. We want to get love of God. But otherwise it can be for some material gains. Like people come to worship to the Lord, oh, I get good result in my examination. Maybe I get good wife, or maybe a good house, or whatever, you know, something material which is only going to be more and more entangling. But still people pray for that. So, but we understand from the Shastras that for us the real prayer is to pray to get love of God, to get serve, so that we get opportunity to serve devotees and Krishna. So this is also part of Navada Bhakti. Vandanam, Prahlad Maharaj gives his 9 processes, Navada Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. So Vandanam is one of it. And in the purport, in the 7th canto of this verse, Srila Prabhupada defined Vandanam as offering obeisances. Offering obeisances and also offering prayers, that is Vandanam. So it is very important to offer obeisances to all that Krishna has created, because Krishna is present in everything. So I don't remember the verse, but I heard once that Bhagavatam prescribes or recommends that we should be offering obeisances to all living beings. So this is a very integral part of our devotional service, Vandanam, in that offering obeisances. So how to offer obeisances we know, because we are practicing since many years. So Sashtang Dandavat we do, and for Mataji it is Panchang Dandavat Pranam. So, but it is very important to be having this mood of surrenderance when we are doing obeisances. It should not become mechanical. So this is what we have to be conscious about all the time. Whatever we are doing, any activity which is designed by Srila Prabhupada as a program for all of us, it is very important that we remain conscious that we are doing it for the pleasure of the Lord. That consciousness is very, very important. Otherwise, we might continue doing it, but it might be possible that we don't develop that taste for the holy name, we don't develop that taste for doing the service, and maybe we lose the interest in doing service. That can be the worst situation. So to be conscious about what we do is most important. So we need to understand that all that we are doing is to get connected to Krishna more and more. That is the focal point of every activity we do. And with this understanding, we keep progressing and we should keep offering everything to the Lord. So the real examination is how much our mind is fixed in thoughts of Krishna. Whatever we are doing, if our mind is fixed in thoughts of Krishna, that is the real test. Not that I am trying to prove that I am a very expert manager, not that I am trying to prove that I can give very great class, or I can do nice aartiks, or I can lead wonderful kirtans, but the whole purpose is to be doing everything we are executing for the pleasure of Lord, keeping Krishna in the mind all the time. So the simple formula we know is always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, practicing this, chanting regularly all the time, we are doing whatever services, help us to focus on Krishna. So this is very important for us to be remembering and constantly meditating. But unfortunately, we are used to a certain way of thinking due to our surrounding, due to our association, due to our upbringing in our society, community, or the environment we are living in. We have developed a kind of thinking now. Like, we hear an example that there was an old lady and she had no one in her life, she was alone. And she used to go to forest to bring her wood. She will bring the wood and sell some, and this is how she used to survive her life. And she was getting old, it was difficult for her to continue this, but she was continuing. And once Lord appears before her, and he appears when she was carrying the wood and it falls down. So Lord asks her, what do you want? How can I help you? And because of her set way of living life, she said, Krishna, can you help me to put this wood on my head back? So this is how we are. So if we have a limited understanding of Krishna, if we have a limited understanding of Krishna's creation, then all we will ask for something small. But when the Lord himself is ready to give what we want, then what can we ask? Like, and in the further chapter, 10, 4, I don't remember, there is, when Krishna enters Mathura, he meets this washerman, and then the florist to make garland for him, Sudama. And Krishna gives him benediction that, okay, what do you want? Ask from me. And he asks that, I want to have my mind focused on your lotus feet. I want to be engaged in the service of the devotees. And I should develop compassion for all the living beings. These are the three things he asked for. So this includes everything. We don't need more, anything else. It covers everything. But because of our limited understanding and a specific way of thinking we have, we pray for possibly wrong things sometimes. So it is very, very important to be conscious that to whom we are praying, you know. So it is very important to know to whom we are praying and what we are praying. Otherwise, we might be endeavoring and not achieving what we want. As Prabhupada writes in this purport, they end up with meager, if not trivial, results. So nothing much will be substantially achieved if we just focus on the mundane things. So the best blessing, as they say, is somebody gives you that Krishna Mati Rastu. We don't want anything else. We want just to be Krishna conscious all the time. So best prayer is to ask that we become Krishna conscious. We remain focused on what we are doing in a prayerful mood. And best blessing is if somebody can bless us that we become Krishna conscious. So the prayers of Akrura are very important, because as he approaches Vrindavan, even Srila Prabhupada wanted us all devotees to be developing this mood when we are in Vrindavan. But when still in Vrindavan means we have to be expressing that gratefulness that we have this opportunity by the mercy of Prabhupada and devotees that we are living in Vrindavan Dham, and being conscious of that fact. Because I heard in one class once that a devotee was connected to some sadhu in Vrindavan, and he got inspired to visit Vrindavan, and then when he comes, then from Delhi to Mathura, Mathura to Vrindavan, he saw it was all filthy place, you know, cows passing dung, and there was no clean. And he was from Germany, you know. Now Germany, if you have been to Germany, it's like everything, you can't even find dust anywhere on the road. It's so clean country. And for him to see dung was like something to, he can't relate to. So this is what it is, that because of our specific thought process that we have developed from the material world, we can't relate to in totality to Krishna consciousness. And then we start seeing things which we are not supposed to be seeing, which we call anarthas. So it is very important that the way Akura was meditating, he was a pure devotee. He was, Kansa chose him because he knew that he is beloved uncle of Krishna Balaram. If he goes, they will come with him. And he explained the whole plan that, okay, you go and tell them they have to come to Mathura, and the agenda was to kill Krishna, because he understood, he came to know from Narada that he is the eighth child who is going to kill you. So he used this kind of tool, Akrura, to go and bring Krishna Balaram. But because Akrura knew that even if he says no, he is going to kill him, so it is better to go and accept his order, because he is getting this wonderful opportunity to have darshan of the Lord, and he will get to see beautiful Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. And he started meditating on all he knew about Krishna and Balaram, and he also understood, or he got a realization that what can Kansa do to Krishna? Anyhow, you know, Krishna is Supreme Personality. If he wishes, he can finish Krishna in no moment. So he was kind of surrendered to the situation, and in other sense, he had no choice because the king was instructing him. So he went there with these wonderful prayers in his consciousness, meditating about Krishna. And so it is important to learn that we try to see Krishna in our heart all the time. And then if Krishna wants to reveal himself, then he might reveal it to the true recipient who deserve it. But at least we should have that continuous hankering. So Srila Rupa Goswami says, the price to get Krishna is to increase the greed or the want to have Krishna more in our life. So that price has to be, if we have greed and want for many other things, then Krishna is not interested either. You know? So he just reciprocates the way we want to serve the Lord. He's just perfect reciprocator. So we cannot tell that, oh, I'm trying so much, but I'm not developing love. Oh, I'm trying so much, but I cannot give up these attachments. So it's not that we, attachments are not leaving us. It is we who are holding on to things out of our ignorance, we could understand, that we don't want to give up all the material possessions we have. And to what can we give to Krishna anyhow? Everything, he is the supreme proprietor, he is the controller, he is the owner, he is the enjoyer. So still, Krishna mercifully accepts all our offerings. But that desire to offer need to be increased more and more. If we get contented, oh, I gave so much money to Krishna. So Krishna is smart. Certainly he sees what you are giving, but he also sees what you are holding back. Because he is interested in you. He is interested in us, being the loving father. He is interested in us to be going back to him. Not that we give him maybe $1 billion, but we have 10 behind. He knows that. You are still entangled. You still have your possessions. You still have your attachments. So all that Krishna wants is total surrenderance. That is the simple request, that total surrenderance is required. So this price, if we pay, then we can get Krishna. Then we can get understanding to be Krishna conscious all the time. And on the other hand, if we see, no one in this material world is satisfied by achieving whatever they are trying to achieve. I mean, we are all preaching, we have all lived different facets of life, but we know that we don't see anybody who is happy and contented with his way of life. So, we devotees, actually, who have understood this, or who has got this opportunity to read Srila Prabhupada books, who has got this opportunity to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, who has got this opportunity to have association of devotees, at least we should become focused that we should not chase after the water in the desert as mirage, right? Mirage. So if we keep accumulating these things, all the material possessions, all we get is hot sand in our hand, and then we see water is still further. Then again we run for new things, what we achieve is some hot sand, and then again, oh, water is still further, and we keep running, running, running. So, message for us is very clear that we should leave something worthwhile for our next generation. If we create all these materialistic programs for our kids, I would say, or the next generation, then they will receive this hot sand in their hand. And they will think that this is what Krishna consciousness is. So it's a very big responsibility to all devotees who are connected to this wonderful movement of Srila Prabhupada, that we hand over not the hot sand, but the real nectar, which is pure Krishna consciousness. So the more we cut our attachments now, the next generation will get less attachments from as a thinking. Otherwise, if they see, like I was in Ahmedabad before, so all we were taught is we can keep working, whatever we are doing, no problem. And you are selling medicines, no problem. You are doing working in some factory, no problem. So all those things were allowed, and you keep earning money, and certainly we go on Sundays to temple. We hear some katha from devotees whom we know personally, which is generally kind of more of a prajalpa. And Sunday feast class we have, and then we attend that, then there is a feast, and sometimes we give some donation on the festival, and that's it. So the next generation just adopted that. So the next generation kids understood that this is Krishna consciousness. But if you go to the first generation, grahastha, brahmachari, whatever, they were all like serving full time. They were totally giving total surrenderance, even if they were making money 100% to Prabhupada. If they joined temple, 12 to 14 hour service, sankirtan. Okay, prasad, if they get, they get. If they don't get, they don't get. I mean, I heard this from our temple president, Jashomati Nandrao. They used to do 12 hour sankirtan, 14 hour sankirtan. And when they come back, if there is prasad, they eat. But they were not complaining about those situations. So the point I am trying to make is that now, as this current generation, what we will leave behind is what will be a big contributor to our society in the future, because our next generation is learning from us. So there was a survey done in the centennial. I don't know if we read it last time or last time I spoke, but they came up with many nice suggestions in 1996. A nice survey was done of devotees to understand what further improvements or things we should adopt more from the teachings of Prabhupada so that our society can be becoming more Krishna conscious. So out of that, two points were the most important. Two elements of social development were given special attention by the survey respondents. This was done in Prabhupada's centennial survey. This is a summary of the final report. And the first point says, the lack of employment opportunities within ISKCON. As the findings demonstrate, a large portion of ISKCON worldwide membership is working in conventional jobs. So, kind of, the engagement got changed. The followers of ISKCON, what they were doing when the movement was started, and now, the engagement has changed. Even for maintenance of the family life, devotees were doing sankirtan. They used to distribute Prabhupada books. They could have enough savings and they could live their life peacefully. I don't know, but I heard somewhere, maybe in some class, where even Prabhupada said that even from that 50% has to be given. And then he said, but Prabhupada, I have three kids. No compromise. 50% has to be given. So that this is how our movement started. But now we can compare it ourselves where we are personally at. And second important point was inadequate educational alternatives within ISKCON. So findings from the survey suggest that children, like their parents, are spending a good portion of their daily life associating with non-devotees while attending school outside of ISKCON. So these were the two important points highlighted in that survey in the central India. So the employment has changed what devotees used to do then and now, and even the education has changed. So there is enough opportunity to serve in these two directions, and this will only help to strengthen our preaching and attract more people to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, right now we are just mimicking a materialistic lifestyle and we are not sacrificing much. So if you don't sacrifice, we have to push ourselves beyond what we can do in normal situation. If we just like to be in that peaceful, comfortable zone, as I just described, okay, I make money, I give something to Krishna, and I continue what I am doing, accumulating things, making houses, having cars, having maybe 50 pair of clothes and whatnot. We can do that. Krishna is not intervening in anything anyhow. He is just waiting for us to go to that level of surrendering everything, sacrificing everything, not holding anything back. So what does it mean, not holding anything back? It means not holding anything back, just giving everything for the pleasure of the Lord. So that sacrifice is very important, and it attracts Krishna when we go beyond our capacity and push ourselves beyond our comfort of body, comfort of living. Then it means some sacrifice, and ultimately, yes, the goal has to be pleasing Krishna. It has to be all with the intent of becoming more Krishna conscious. Not that, like, there are demons who have done austerities, but if they are not doing it for the pleasure of the Lord, but what does it mean? It means nothing. So this sacrifice to push ourselves beyond our capacity, as I described, their devotees are doing sankirtan for 14 hours, like we hear in Russia, they do in minus 20 degree temperature, they are doing sankirtan, like our devotees here on the farm, in 45 degrees they were living with the cows on the land. We have no sheds there now, they just live under the tree, even in the rain. So this sacrifice of personal comfort to serve is what attracts Krishna. So this is what we should be leaving behind, not our material possession for the next generation. Otherwise, they will just have hot sand and they will just continue burning themselves with that. And what will we gain? It will be like, samyeva hi kevalam. It is just a futile effort. And Maya will keep smashing here and there. And then we might come to a conclusion that maybe this process is not enough. And so we see many devotees leaving even. So the challenge is not that the Srila Prabhupada process has something missing, but the challenge is that sacrifice, the surrenderance, which is minimum. We cannot think that this is very high standard. It's not like that. This is nothing high standard. This is minimum standard. As we understand, that when the movement started, that was the norm. When the movement started, there were no such big temples, no kind of infrastructural things. But that was the standard, to give everything, not holding anything back. So we see what we are, where we are now. So to move ahead from here, that has to continue. Without sacrifice, where is the question of love? If there is, even in a materialistic lifestyle, we see the earning member of the family sacrificing his personal comfort, because they think it's so-called love for the family members, for the wife, for the kids, for the parents, for whatever he's associated, he feels attached to. But for us devotees, we do sacrifice only for getting love of Lord. We want love of Radha Krishna, we want love of Gauranitha, we want love of Krishna Balram. So if we don't sacrifice anything, then there is no question of love. It is just a business we are doing. It's just a kind of negotiation going on, okay? Like I said, prayers are for two purposes, for love or for some material benefit. So if you are holding on to material things, then it is prayers just for material benefit. We don't need any rocket science to understand. It is very simple to understand, difficult to accept it though, but very easy to understand. We know it, So, by all our intelligence, we cannot cheat Krishna that he doesn't know how much I am holding back. Not possible. We can think that I can hide from the temple management, okay, oh, I am giving so much, but they don't know now what I have. But Krishna knows it. So, the whole endeavor is not to please or pacify any person here, but our focal point is to please Srila Prabhupada and please Krishna. So, we have to be genuine and try to sacrifice more and more in association of devotees, and that sacrifice will give us higher level of realizations in our life. If we don't learn to sacrifice, we are just learning to become more and more attached. So, it is very important that we should associate with devotees who are sacrificing, who are living simple life, who are not attached with any material of like we also hear this, some that when Krishna, somebody goes to Krishna asking something, he can give, okay, material wealth, okay, good wife, okay, but when somebody wants pure devotional service, then it is something more difficult to give away. For that, we have to be really becoming deserving. But other things are not so important for Krishna to be, okay, we'll keep giving. But in other words, it is kind of cheating. Now we are getting something which is of no advantage to us. So it is important to take shelter of pure devotees, because pure devotees will never do that. They will give us correct message, correct understanding, even though it might not be that palatable for us to accept, but they are like, they will tell, no, this is not good. Just give up all these things. These are all anarthas. Just give 100% and Krishna will take care of you. So devotees will not misguide you. So it is very important to be taking shelter of devotees who are following these principles and who are sacrificing their time and their life, and then maybe we can be able to develop this mood of akrura, of prayers. Otherwise, as Prabhupada writes, even in Bhagavad Gita, we can read that 7.15, Namam Duskita No Mudha, in that Prabhupada writes about these philosophers. The next class of Duskriti is called Maya Pratagnana, or those persons whose erudite knowledge has been nullified by the influence of illusory material energy. They are mostly very learned fellows, great philosophers, poets, literary scientists, but the illusory energy misguides them, and therefore they disobey the Lord. There are great number of Maya Pratagnana at the present moment, even among the scholars of the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, in plain and simple language, it is stated that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is none equal to or greater than Him. He is mentioned as the father of Brahma, the original father of all human beings. In fact, Sri Krishna is said to be not only the father of Brahma, but also the father of all species of life. So, all species of life, this is what we see, gopis. They were just glorifying everything that was existing in Vrindavan. The bird, the trees, the animals, as sages. So that was their consciousness, that everything is executing their service for the pleasure of the Lord. And so gopis were so attracted to the Lord. So this mood of being appreciative of all that is around us is also very important to develop. He is the root of the impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. The super soul in every entity is his plenary portion. He is the fountainhead of everything, and everyone is advised to surrender unto his lotus feet. Despite all this clear statement, the Maya Pratagnana deride the personality of Supreme Lord and consider him merely another human being. They do not know that the blessed form of human life is designed after the eternal and transcendental feature of the Supreme Lord. So, the best form of life is designed by the Lord, as Krishna himself depicted how to live in Vrindavan. He himself was telling us how to live. What we are, we don't want to be falling in this category of Maya Pratagnana. Now we have the real treasure with us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we should accept it now, and as a group, as a community, we should try to move ahead, that we will take every decision for the pleasure of the Lord. We will move ahead to serve the Lord. We will move ahead to serve this Vrindavan Dham. We will not try to exploit anything here. This exploitative mentality is basically we are exploiting ourselves. We are cheating ourselves, not anybody else. We might think that we are expertly taking care of, you know, so many things and cheating people, but no. If we are not becoming Krishna conscious, we are only cheating ourselves. So this is very wonderful prayers here, Akrura, and if we want to become these modern philosophers, then Prabhupada is clearly telling, they naturally end up with meager, if not trivial results. So we will just left with some hot sand in our hand, and next life is ready for us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So any comments? Comments? Yes.
As you said that the generations follow us, what people were doing the previous time, it affects the generations, that's how they perform. But now I see that the young generation have changed. A lot of changes have come. People are making YouTube channels, they want more followers, they are into name and fame. Now they think they want more money. They are chanting also, but now the concept has changed. It is affecting the more young generation, kids of 10 years or 12 years. They also want to make YouTube channel. So the purpose is slightly diverting from the actual path, actually.
Yes.
We say that we should not be materialistic. You know, people didn't have money to buy a phone of 10,000. Now they have plots and big cars. So don't make money in the name of Krishna. It's not good. Live a simple life, like what other acharyas and other people are living. But this is really affecting people. I've seen YouTube channels, people didn't have money to buy a phone. Now they're big farmhouse. Yeah, you also want, we all want it. So, what is being told by the scriptures and acharyas, you should follow, just not, you know, pretend and have another picture on the background. So, generation should really understand this.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of deviation.
Yes, Prabhu, yogi is speaking. You want to speak?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the chance. The idea of sacrifice is can you use the two days lesson in Chen, Japa, Jetta?
Sorry, I could not hear.
The idea of sacrificing. The idea of sacrificing is to chant Hare Krishna nicely, to chant good japa, to join the devotee in the kirtan, and to just and to try to invite more people to chant Hare Krishna. So in the sake of Kali, we are not very qualified for any of the sacrifice anyway. This is the saving grace that we need to change. And according to how seriously and how sincerely we engage in this chanting, everything else will follow the proper understanding.
Question? Yes, behind. Oh, you are asking. Yes. Then
how you do know that we are getting Krishna's mercy?
How do you know that?
Understand, I'm getting Krishna's mercy.
How do you understand that your hunger is satisfied? Maybe something like that. Yes, behind Mataji, Kamala Mataji.
My question is relating to the your talk about that people, devotees, they need to work outside, they come and they give donations, whereas they can come and dedicate their life to the Lord in the temple. So in that relation, my question is, suppose now we have devotees who are approaching and they are asking some services. So naturally, in olden times, the temples were providing rooms to stay, accommodation for the devotees, but now, because of the lack of space, temple cannot provide any accommodation, so devotees should be outside and they do service and then they earn money. So how do we balance, I mean, for a devotee who wants to come and to dedicate their life, and besides they have to work and earn and to pay the rent and the bills, and money is coming, child is coming, so many expenses are there. And we know that the wages are not that high to cover up all the expenses. So how the balance can be done to a devotee who would like really to come and dedicate his life to the mission?
So yes, Mataji is taking after community services, so she is always concerned about these things. Thank you for that. So I don't think we have enough time to answer everything at length, but all I can say is we have only one thing has changed in the devotees who come now. Most of them just want to do the kind of service they want. The devotees are not open to the services that are required really. For example, now we are announcing our farm project since 4 months, 5 months now. We are housing people there. We are giving them prasadam. We are giving them service. But how many applications did we receive? So this conditioning, as I was telling also in the class, that we have a set way of thinking how we can serve Krishna. And that is so deep now because of this passing off of the hot sand that we cannot change. It's difficult to change that understanding. But when the society was started, whatever comes, you know, even any authority says, people were following. There were no questioning. It was so simple. And they were all progressing in their Krishna consciousness. So this principle of obedience is one thing lacking from we disciples, as we call, because we are joining now. So if we inculcate that, then at least in this temple, I don't see there is any limitation of any kind. And for that matter, in no temple of the world. But if they have some specific understanding about services, like we keep meeting people, he will say, Prabhu, I want to do seva, can I get a room? I said, okay. We recently met, me and Dharmatma Prabhu. He said, yes, we can give you a place. I said, we'll give you service. Prasad, everything is given. No, but I only want to do this. Because I'm already, I said, no, now we have many people for this service, we want somebody in this service. No, I don't want them. So, this is also a challenge kind of. I'm not telling that we have unlimited arrangement for everything, but for now I can see that 40 acres of land in Ajay is sitting for all of us, and we are all sitting here looking for services. So there's ample opportunity, and we are ready to buy more land if devotees are ready to grow, because we want to grow food for the deities, we want to grow flower for the deities, for our community members. But devotee thinks, I cannot do this. Now where does this thought come from? If you are there to serve Krishna, then Krishna gives you all the skills and energy. We are not hunting for skills, we are hunting for mood. As we heard today, we are hunting for a prayerful mood. But now we don't want MBAs and chartered accountants to run these projects. We want devotees to be serving here, who have that mood to service and to render service and surrender. So that is also missing these days. I mean, those devotees who have, they are there on the farm already. They didn't have anything like that, but they thought, okay, we will go there, no problem, son. no problem, whatever is available will survive there, they are living there. So, I think there is enough opportunity available from the temples, but because of that set conditioning of for services, it making little more challenging and struggleful for devotees to surrender. So if we can counsel them on that. So like when we announce this, many devotees ask me, so what we have to pay but? For the farm I'm specifically talking now. I said, okay, you get your place to live, even for grihasthas. I'm not talking only about the brahmacharis, because that is another thinking now, that only a brahmachari can stay in temple. Grihasthas cannot serve the project. But the farms are for open for all. Even grihasthas are living there, brahmacharis are living there. No problem. But this set thinking process is the real bottleneck that we have to change. And that little bit of dependence on the Lord has to come. But I want to serve, but what if temple removes me after 1 year? Then you think that somebody else is controlling, not Krishna. But with our current level of understanding of devotional life, maybe it's too much for us to relate to this principle. But this is reality. Krishna is the controller. If he wants to keep us engaged, nobody can remove us. Only people can complain, oh, management will change, they will throw you out. It has never happened. Only when we are not sincere, Maya will act on us. Why we have to blame others for that? Only training is to blame ourselves for all the wrong things that happen with us. We can't blame situations, we can't blame other people, other living beings, neither we can blame Krishna. This is what is devotional life. We can only blame ourselves that something is lacking in me. So that lacking has to be corrected. And maybe for that some association can also help. We need an association also. That's it. Does that satisfy you? Thank you. Okay. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.